I'm Donna from Clavrock, and you're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we are going to hear about efforts to electrify all buildings in New York and switch to more renewable energy to combat climate change. And we're also going to participate in WGXC's Winter Pledge Drive. We're asking for your support to keep Creative Community Radio on and reports such as these on the air. At WGXC.org/donate, you can make a difference and become the latest sustaining supporter in your community. We've got about 300 of those so far. Folks that are firmly committed to a local media landscape that includes a place for local voices to trade information on the air. Please make a donation today at WGXC.org/donate or call 518-697-7400. We appreciate anything you can give. Thank you.
This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network.
Greetings, WGXC listeners. This is Chris Funkhauser, host of Poet Radio here on the station since 2015. I wanted to take a few moments to remind you that WGXC is now amidst our Winter 2023 Pledge Drive, where we are fundraising to keep independent, live, local, adventurous, atypical radio broadcasting over the FM airwaves and online. We are radio for open ears, a rare thing indeed that we're all very fortunate to have. As always, we are looking for and are in need of sustaining supporters who set up monthly contributions to the station. As you might imagine, it takes a serious amount of capital to maintain all of the transmission technologies used by the station. So please consider becoming one of our highly valued sustaining supporters. The best way to do this is the donate section of WGXC's website, wgxc.org, and go through the process set up there.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how do I's into here's how you can's. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Marcus DeGrazia Acupuncture of Austerlitz, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Daily News for Friday, February 24th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about any of these stories. WNYT in Albany reports that despite all the social media speculation, experts say there is no sign that the air quality locally has been affected by the derailment of a train 3 weeks ago in Ohio. The New York State Department of Environmental Conservation says it has not observed any human impact from the disaster locally, but said they are monitoring the air and water here. DEC meteorologists are watching airflow patterns, and DEC scientists are also analyzing samples being taken from ambient air monitoring stations. Dr. Max Zhang, professor of mechanical engineering at Cornell University, said there was no indication of an impact on New York's air, saying, quote, "What's happening in Ohio, those are isolated, a short-duration event, not as big as a power plant running 24/7 continuously, right? So that's why, even though locally residents haven't been affected, based on what I understand so far, there is no concern for accumulations," unquote. The New York State Mesonet Monitoring System said February 21st it has not picked up any abnormalities in the air, according to a spokesperson for University of Albany. But all those experts did not reassure Rensselaer County Executive Steve McLaughlin, who has made it clear for several years that he reads conspiracy theories on social media. He asked the EPA on February 21st to set up air quality monitoring in the county to test for any residue of the February 3rd train accident in Ohio. Read more about this story at WNYT. Nick Reisman at New York State of Politics reports that on February 23rd, several good government groups, including Reinvent Albany, called for legislators to pass several bills to expand government transparency in New York. They want to increase access to public records and government meetings. Quote, "We believe that aligning your efforts to pass the same bills will help increase transparency and send a strong message that the legislature is working together to bring more sunlight to New York," unquote, the groups wrote in the letter. Quote, "The legislation will also help the legislature to better conduct oversight of state government," unquote. Currently, there is no law mandating local governments webcast their town meetings, even though they all did during the pandemic. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. Patricia R. Doxey reports in the Daily Freeman that Democrats are conceding four elections for the Ulster County Legislature later this year, only fielding 19 candidates for 23 seats. Democrats are running three candidates of color and seven women this fall. Six Democrat incumbents are not running for re-election: Brian Cahill, Phil Erner, Laura Pettit, Tracy Bartels, Eve Walter, and Jonathan Heppner. Democrats held a convention to nominate their candidates with just two contested elections. In District 6, Gregory McCullough took the party's endorsement over Suzanne Timbrook, and Lamina Grace Harmon got more support than William Murray. The Ulster County Republican Committee convention is February 25th, so they will announce their candidates then. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. William J. Kemble reports in the Daily Freeman that the school board in Saugerties has appointed Deputy Superintendent Daniel Ersig to take over for outgoing Superintendent Kirk Reinhart on an interim basis beginning March 31st. He will get an extra $150 per day during his tenure as interim superintendent. Next month, school officials will begin to figure out the process that will be used to fill the position on a long-term basis. Reinhart, meanwhile, is becoming Kingston High School's principal from April 1st through May 31st, and then will become the district superintendent for teaching and learning. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom, WGXC.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, February 24th. We have made it to the end of the week, everybody. Local early morning temperatures range from 31 degrees in Tannersville to 37 in Kinderhook and Copaic. Regional average soil temperature is 36 degrees. New snow totals are in: 1 inch in Phoenicia and Caro, 1.3 inches in Freehold, and 2.5 inches in Greenville. After a band of lake effect passes through early this morning, we should be free and clear of precip for the day. However, it gets pretty windy out and temperatures will fall through the day. We have already hit our highs and we'll see 23 degrees by dark. Overnight, some pipes could freeze as temperatures drop to 9 degrees. Up in the hills, you could see 0 Fahrenheit. Saturday, temperatures remain below freezing with a high of only 26 at 4 p.m. Light snow will fall through the day. Half an inch of total accumulation is expected. 18 degrees overnight takes us into a warmer Sunday with a high of 42. And some light afternoon rain. Monday should have a high of 37 and a snowy, rainy mixed afternoon. Sunset today will be at 5:24 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:35 a.m. Looking way up, we see the incoming plasma streams are still expected. Arrival time has been refined to Sunday night. X-class flare chances have risen to 20% as Sunspot 3234 has rapidly grown in size 400% and is displaying a Delta-class magnetic field as it rotates into view of the Earth. Solar wind speed is currently 520 kilometers per second at 11.8 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently still pretty bad above 2 megahertz till dark, then fair below 60 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 4, unsettled. The current sunspot number is 108. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate. Who would like to urge you to head on over to WGXE.org. And while you're listening to the various streams and podcasts, let your friends know what you find. And maybe click on that donate button on top of the page. You'll be glad you did.
Are you tired of your flying saucer always breaking down on your way to Mars?
Wish you could get more bang for your whoopee at the gas pump?
Well, here at Flying Saucer Mart, we have the perfect flying saucer for you.
It goes as fast as light. It comes in a variety of colors and only costs you 75 whoopee.
Come down to 375 Bionic Ave in Pluto City and fly home with a new used flying saucer today.
Karen.
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 Today we are in the midst of the Transmission Winter Pledge Drive. WGXC is community radio that relies on support from listeners like you. Please visit WGXC.org to make a donation, or even better, please become a sustaining member today. Even just a few dollars a month, that adds up a lot over time.
Give up your pizza for one night. Don't feed the kids. Just let them starve for one night. It's good for them, actually.
Studies do show that.
No candies. Mm. I don't know where I get kidneys from. No candy for one night. You know, donate to us and do us a favor and keep this fantastic radio station firing in all cylinders.
This drive is significant. Sustaining members are really, really an important part. And, of course, a single donation is more than welcome. If you could spare $5, $10, $20, but $5 a month, $10 a month, over time, whether it's $5 becoming $60 over the course of a year or $10 becoming $120, that is just such a tremendous help to the station. And it's, you know, please remember that WGXC is a creative community radio station. It's based in New York's Greene and Columbia counties. It's local. It's hands-on access and participation. It's a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement. And it's a great way to listen to Catskill Cabin Getaway in the car, catch it on the radio on your way to work, or you can stream us
that's
through,
if your
through
transmission
your
is working, Mike.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah, so that's a good point.
Now, we are looking to secure additional sustaining supporters towards the ultimate goal of $5,000 in monthly contributions, which will allow us to end traditional pledge drives. That goal is within our grasp. If we can add a total of 1,250 in monthly donations during this drive, we are almost there. That's exciting, Mike.
It's very exciting. And that being said, Andy, I think we've come to the end.
We have indeed.
It's been a great conversation.
Absolutely. As ever, Mike, fantastic. Enjoy doing. I actually really enjoy doing the pitches because it gives me and you a chance just to hang out together.
That's right.
So,
just the two of us. We can make,
it if we try.
Just the two of us.
So, yeah. So, listen, everybody, thank you very much for listening. Us talking the way we do, just inane nonsense, but with a serious note along with it. If you can donate, a sustaining donation would be fantastic. But in reality, anything you can give is good enough. So thank you for that ahead of time. Thank you.
Thanks, Andy.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
I can tell you this much. This was 100% preventable. We call things accidents. There is no accident. Every single event that we investigate is preventable.
National Transportation Safety Board Chair Jennifer Homendies says the NTSB's preliminary report on this month's East Palestine, Ohio train derailment has not yet identified a probable cause, but it is pointing to an overheated wheel bearing that failed. Homendies says the Safety Board will take the rare step of hosting an investigative field hearing this spring. Local officials such as East Palestine Mayor Trent Conway says President Joe Biden's recent visit to Ukraine was, quote, the biggest slap in the face. He feels the president's place was with the people of East Palestine. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre defended the federal response amid strong criticism from former President Donald Trump.
We believe that we have had a all-of-government, all-hands approach to this, not just with the agencies, but also with the different teams here in the White House.
Today marks the official one-year anniversary of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. The United Nations General Assembly voted overwhelmingly Thursday to call for the Russian military to withdraw from Ukraine. State Department spokesperson Ned Price says he hopes today is a day free of attacks that have come to define life in Ukraine in the last year, but says that may be wishful thinking.
I think we all know there may be reason to expect otherwise, or at least reason to suspect otherwise.
The U.S. could place strict sanctions on China if it decides to support Russia with weapons and military aid. Earlier this week, Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Wenbin denied that Beijing was considering the idea. On Thursday, a federal judge ruled that Trump could be questioned by attorneys in a pair of lawsuits brought by two former FBI officials who allege they were illegally targeted for retribution after the FBI investigated Russia's interference in the 2016 presidential election. Peter Strzok and Lisa Page made headlines in 2017 when it was announced they were removed from a special counsel that looked into text messages criticizing Trump. Hundreds of students across Florida walked out Thursday in protest against Governor Ron DeSantis and the policies he has enacted for higher education.
Racist, sexist, anti-gay, Ron DeSantis, go away!
DeSantis has announced he plans to ban colleges and universities from having programs on diversity, equity, and inclusion, as well as critical race theory. Finally, according to the Gun Violence Archive, so far more than 6,200 people have died from gun violence in 2023. That translates to about 116 deaths each day. I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our ATRUST indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We're updating breaking democracy stories we've covered recently, ranging from voter-owned elections in New Hampshire to the Supreme Court elections in Wisconsin and the Moore versus Harper case in North Carolina. First in New Hampshire, where the state house last week voted down the HB 324 voter-owned election bill 200-163. The bill would have created an optional small donor voter dollar system for funding the state's gubernatorial and executive council races. On to Wisconsin's Supreme Court election, where Tuesday voters chose one liberal and one conservative to move forward to the general election on April 4th. Milwaukee County Circuit Court Judge Janet Prosewitz, an outspoken critic of gerrymandered maps approved by the current court, was the top vote-getter at 46%. She was followed by former state Supreme Court Justice Daniel Kelly at 24%. Should Wisconsin's gerrymandered maps be overturned, it would have a dramatic impact on the makeup of the state's legislature and congressional seats. In the North Carolina Supreme Court, March 14th has been set to rehear the Harper v. Hall congressional district gerrymandering case. The highly irregular rehearing caused a sitting justice to call it a display of raw partisanship. The case spawned the Moore v. Harper independent state legislature case in the U.S. Supreme Court. A new North Carolina court may overturn the earlier decision striking down the maps, but it's unclear whether Moore v. Harper will be rendered moot. We have more details at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
And in the WGXC community calendar online, you can find so many things to do, some virtual, some in real life, including Friday, February 24th, there's a vigil for the people of Ukraine at the Village of Chatham Gazebo. That's at Hudson Avenue and Park Row in Chatham. It's a vigil for the people of Ukraine, organized by the Ukraine Solidarity of Albany and Rivers and Mountains Green Faith. Participants are asked to bring small flashlights and signs, and you can call 518-526-5594 for more information, or go to the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined by Michael Hernandez, who is with Rewiring America, and they recently put out a report, the All-Electric Building Act, Debunking Act, and it talked about 10 facts about all-electric new buildings. So, Michael, can you maybe briefly introduce Rewiring America for people, and then, you know, what prompted you to put out this new report?
Absolutely. Rewiring America is focused on the demand side of electrification. How do we allow, how do we provide people with information about how they could electrify their homes and what incentives are available and providing any kind of information like that? And so that's what we are most focused on with Rewiring America.
Now, I understand that one of the reasons why there's a need for this information is it's been sort of a disinformation campaign about the idea of going to all electric buildings, particularly this idea that in upstate New York that it gets too cold for, you know, say air heat pumps to actually work. Is that a valid concern?
No, you know, we have found in Europe, in Norway, in Maine, here in the United States, in very cold climates, people are adopting heat pumps. They work very well. There's really no concern about, you know, the ability of an electrified heat pump to be able to warm a home in cold climates.
Yeah, but will the air heat pumps or even, you know, geothermal ground heat pumps, are they going to cost, you know, homeowners and residents a lot more money?
Well, for this bill that is being considered is for new construction here in New York. And so we found that when you're considering building a new building, the cost differential between putting in fossil fuel infrastructure and putting in electrified infrastructure is nominal. There's a nominal cost differential. And in some ways, it's more affordable to put in electrified infrastructure into your new construction.
Now, one of the concerns I've heard raised is that, you know, when we have power blackouts, and I'll say in my community, it seems to be once a month, you know, at least for a couple hours, you know, that, you know, having an air heat pump means you can't run it and it's not as reliable, say, as, you know, a gas or a propane heating system.
Actually, the exact opposite is true. You're far more resilient with an electrified system than off an electrified system. With an electrified system, you can have off the grid or behind the meter distributed energy resources that will be able to power your home without relying upon energy being produced by the grid. And so, and there's even ovens that have battery power storage in them themselves for induction stoves, where you don't need any electricity from outside of the oven itself. I think when you look at fossil fuel infrastructure, modern fossil fuel infrastructure does no better without electricity. It also needs electricity to run. And so, that's just not true. And often what I think we hear people saying is that they might run their oven, light their oven and use that to heat their home. And that's very dangerous. And so an electrified system is far superior and much more resilient than fossil fuel infrastructure.
Now, I understand that this new climate scoping document that the Climate Action Council drafted underneath the new climate law, CLCPA, you know, largely recommends, you know, air heat pumps and ground heat pumps. How is this issue playing out with the legislature and the governor? I know this was a big issue last year, didn't get resolved. What's it looking like this year?
Yeah, the Climate Action Council pointed out that, you know, carbon emissions from our building sector is the number one source of carbon emissions in New York State. And so in order to reduce our carbon emissions, it's vitally important that we focus on our building sector and removing the fossil fuel infrastructure from our building sector. This particular bill focuses on new buildings, which makes it very easy because you don't have to hook up a new building to the fossil fuel infrastructure in the first place. And you could just build it electrified, make sure it's energy efficient, and it can provide those sources. We've been getting very positive feedback. As you're aware, last year, the Senate included the All-Electric Building Act in its One House proposal. And we've been hearing from a lot of members in the Assembly, and they seem very supportive. The budget letter to the Speaker advocating for the inclusion of the All-Electric Building Act in the Assembly One House had over 40 members of the majority conference signed onto it. And there really seems to be a lot of momentum on electrifying new construction in New York State.
Now, you know, so sort of understandable, of course, that the gas industry, you know, opposes, you know, banning gas in new buildings. But also, you know, it seems some of the construction unions have been also opposed to this. Is this a bill that's going to cost jobs, create jobs? What's the job impact of the All-Electric Buildings Act for new buildings?
The Climate Action Council found that bringing electrified heat pumps and that will bring a whole new industry to New York State and create over 100,000 jobs in this particular area. And so this will actually bring a real boom of jobs to New York State as we expand our electrified building sector.
Now, isn't one of the issues that, you know, I actually bought, you know, air heat pumps a number of years ago. Cost, I think, $15,500 for the whole house and got about a $5,500 rebate from the local utility. But, you know, even at $10,000, it's kind of expensive for, you know, low-income people. How's it coming in terms of the state or the federal government, you know, providing subsidies, particularly to low and middle income people, to help them with the cost of these heat pumps?
It's going really well. You know, the Biden administration passed the Inflation Reduction Act, which provides tax credits and rebates for people to move forward with their electrification of their homes, which includes not only the installation of a heat pump, ground source or air source, but also for the weatherization and efficiency measures needed for the heat pumps to work effectively. And so you take what passed in the IRA and you take the incentive programs that are being provided by NYSERDA and utilities like Con Edison's Clean Heat Program, and you can really sort of stack these incentives on top of each other, and that can bring just as expensive as replacing your current gas infrastructure. And not only is that, but you also have to consider going forward, your energy bills are going to be far less expensive as they will, you will have much more efficient energy system. And so you will not be paying as much in energy costs once you make the conversion to an electrified system.
So we only have about a minute left and ask you a two-part question. Who is actually driving some of these ads, you know, disinformation campaign that we're seeing? And if people want to, you know, read this report, where can they find it?
Yeah, certainly. I think, you know, this is really the disinformation campaign has really been driven by fossil fuel industry and those stakeholders who have a stake in keeping us on fossil fuels, regardless of the impacts to the climate, regardless to the impacts to our health. And, you know, I think we really want to make sure people are aware that these are much more healthy, much more safe, much more affordable systems.
We're out of time. You got a website?
Yes, go to rewiringamerica.org.
Thank you very much, Michael Hernandez. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org. Here is 2022 new music from Ghost Power from their named after themselves album. This is called Panic in the Isles of Splendor.
WGXC is an amazing station, and if you've just changed the dial to this station and you don't know what you're listening to, it's a hands-on community radio station without any sponsors. That means that this radio station can say whatever they want, as long as it's respectful and kind, and they'll be on the air, and they don't have to answer to anybody or anything except their own conscience. And so if you donate $5, $1, $100, $10,000, it all goes to making radio happen in Green and Columbia counties and even Berkshire counties. And every single cent helps the station and helps keep amazing media alive and well in the United States of America. So donate WGXC.org, and there's a donate button, or you can be a sustaining member. I'm a sustaining member for $5 a month, and I've been a sustaining member for, I think, 5 or 6 years. And I'm so glad that I can be part of this amazing movement. Okay, that's it.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Nicholas Fandos reports in the New York Times that the Democrat House Majority PAC this week will unveil a $45 million fund for winning back 4 seats that Republicans flipped in New York last year. One of the districts they are targeting is the 19th, where Republican Mark Molinaro won last fall. Republicans now hold a slim 5-seat majority in the House of Representatives, and many observers have said that is because of the losses in New York. Mike Smith, who leads the Political Action Committee, said, and I quote, "The path to the majority runs through New York. It's not just us seeing it. It is the Republican Party seeing it. It's every donor around the country seeing it," end quote. The national money will be helpful, as New York Democrats are still bickering about the losses. Progressives blame the conservatives' chair of the state party, Jay Jacobs, while he said the Republicans won by focusing on crime in many advertisements. The Democratic PAC spent around $13 million in New York last year, while Republican Congressional Leadership Fund spent at least $21 million. In a sign that the Republicans are also taking New York congressional 2024 elections very seriously, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is planning to make an early fundraising stop in the state in March. Read more about this story in the New York Times. Taylor A. McNeil in the Daily Gazette reports that Representative Paul Tonko wants to ban all electronic and sports gambling advertising. But since a total ban may not pass Congress, Tonko says, and I quote, "We're open to any discussion. You know, I don't want to reject any kind of thoughts people would have on this, but our intent is to really address that targeting, the tremendous outlay of advertising, the targeting, and the potential damage," end quote. In 2018, the U.S. Supreme Court allowed sports betting in most parts of the country, and in 2019, New York voted to allow bets, and online sports betting began in the state last year. Tonko, who represents Albany County and the rest of the 20th Congressional District, is concerned about sports betting websites targeting gambling addicts. In 2021, the National Gambling Helpline Network experienced a 45% annual increase in calls. Where will Tonko get support for his measure? Locally, Democrat Assemblyperson Angelo Santabarbara of Rotterdam said, and I quote, "Sports gambling regulation is a state issue and decisions should be made here in New York State and not in Washington." The State Assembly's Racing and Wagering Committee worked hard to include many safeguards in enacting legislation, end quote. Republican Congressperson Elise Stefanik didn't respond to a request for comment on the issue. The American Gaming Association calls Tonko's bill unconstitutional. New York State took in $909 million in tax and licensing fee-based revenue from mobile sports betting in 2022. Read the full story in the Daily Gazette. Rick Carlin reports in the Times Union that the Bank of Greene County is planning a 2-for-1 stock split for the close of business on March 8th. A stockholder in parent company Greene County Bancorp will receive an additional share of stock for each share they own March 23rd. Greene County Bancorp President and CEO Donald Gibson said of the move, and I quote, "It lowers the cost so more people can buy it," end quote. This is the fourth stock split in 25 years for the 135-year-old local bank. 2 years ago, the Bank of Greene County surpassed $2 billion in assets. And last June, the bank began being listed in the Russell 2000 Index, a leading list of small-cap stocks. On February 22nd, the bank's stock on the NASDAQ exchange was trading at $54.21 a share. Read more about this story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXE News Update. You can visit our website at WGXE.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 update. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXE sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXE Renewable Weather Report for Friday, February 24th. And we begin each renewable weather forecast with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The Mobile in Caro has gas at $3.43 a gallon. That's the lowest in the county, according to the Gas Buddy website. The air quality forecast is low on Friday at 32. The UV index is 4, a moderate reading. And that's the highest we've seen all winter. Hudson River water temperature is 38.75 degrees in Albany, and that is 2.5 degrees warmer than it has been on average over the past 10 years on February 24th. National Weather Service in Albany predicts a 20% chance of snow showers early in the morning, with partly sunny skies later in the day and the temperature falling to around 19 by 5 p.m. It'll be super windy with a northwest wind 22 to 26 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 40 miles per hour spinning local windmills. Friday night should be partly cloudy with a low around 5, but wind chill values will be as low as negative 8. As the northwest wind persists, 9 to 18 miles per hour with gusts as high as 28 miles per hour. Then on Saturday, there's a 40% chance of snow showers, mainly afternoon. Shouldn't amount to much, but it'll be cloudy with a high near 25 and wind chill values as low as negative 6 on Saturday. Saturday night should be mostly cloudy with a low around 14 and a wind from the south around 5 miles per hour. Sunday should be mostly cloudy with a high of 39. There is a 20% chance of rain showers after 1 p.m., possibly mixing with a little snow after 4 p.m., but again, not amounting to much. There will be a southwest wind becoming west 12 to 17 miles per hour spinning local windmills, and Sunday night should be partly cloudy with a low around 20. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.